The Morrison government is facing mounting criticism that it's left Australia vulnerable to attack, despite its pledge to build an East Coast naval base to service the future fleet of nuclear-powered submarines. And in a sign of some division within senior government ranks, the Prime Minister says a decision on which subs to buy will not be made before the election, which appears to place him at odds with his Defence Minister, Peter Dutton, who we'll be speaking to after eight. But first, Independent Senator and former submariner Rex Patrick joins us from Adelaide. Welcome to the program, Rex Patrick. The government has shortlisted three locations on the East Coast to house the nuclear subs. Does this indicate some progress being made to acquire the fleet?
Good morning, Patricia. Look, your listeners need to understand the context here. We've had 13 years since the Future Submarine Project commenced, $3 billion spent. And up until yesterday, all we had was one study being carried out for all of that effort. Yesterday, the Prime Minister announced a further study, a second study, that goes to where we might put these submarines when they arrive in 2040. That's right, 2040. We've got whatever is happening in the Ukraine, the aggressive war happening in Ukraine, which could, in fact, caused the spark necessary to light the tinderbox between China and Taiwan. We've had naval warships off our coast 2 weeks ago in the Arafura Sea, and in fact, regularly over the last 3 or 4 years, Chinese warships venturing into Australia's economic exclusion zone to watch exercises. Everything is happening now with the Prime Minister wanting to have a submarine delivered in 2040. To add insult to injury, when he made that announcement yesterday, he said it was off the back of a study that had 19 different options and that they were down selecting to three options. The three options that he picked were scored very low in the analysis. The first cab off the rank, or the best city for a future submarine on the East Coast was Sydney, followed by Jervis Bay.
Yeah. Look, the Port of Newcastle is one of the ones that's been looked at. It's 50% owned by Chinese company China Merchants. Should that rule it out as a base for Australian nuclear subs?
Well, it's also got some operational problems in that it has a very difficult entry. We have to remember that most of the time the Navy, and particularly in its home port, will bring a vessel alongside using naval officers. That will include the captain of the submarine, the executive officer, navigators for training purposes. Very difficult entry. The port is extremely busy. Anyone who goes down to Nobby's and looks out to sea can see typically 18 or 20 coal vessels lined up waiting to get into the port.
Yeah, it's one of the busiest ports, no doubt about it.
Absolutely, and it was scored low in the study. So, that's an example where this has been picked, and I think it's been picked for pork barreling reasons. It's a pre-election announcement that offers the prospect of jobs and economic activity. And it was beautifully played in the context that it wasn't just one site that was announced. They also now announced Port Kembla and Brisbane, both also unsuitable for a future submarine base. Yet, obviously that's a nice carrot for anyone who might be considering voting for the coalition.
Okay, so
the Prime Minister knows that.
Three locations are on the shortlist: Newcastle, Port Kembla and Brisbane. None of them, as you say, were backed by a previous review by Defence. Which would, though, be the most suitable to house a maintenance facility? And do we have the capacity to skill up the workforce needed to service those nuclear subs?
Look, I think it's a most ambitious project, and it's riddled with politics. And we know that when politics gets in the way, defence capability generally suffers. That's one of the problems here. Politicians often interfere with these things, and it leads to negative national security outcomes. And that's exactly what is happening here. Port Kembla was listed. It was listed, but almost in a cursory manner, but ruled out because it has an artificial port, and indeed that port is very crowded already. Likewise, Brisbane, too far from the East Australian exercise area, which is where the submarine would exercise against Australian ships, no ammunition facilities, there are harbour constraints there. Sydney's a great city for basing submarines. We used to operate our Oberon-class submarines from there. It has all of the facilities available. It has access to medical. It's got all of the family needs. So there are jobs for spouses in Sydney. It has recruiting and retention benefits. Now, I'm not an expert in this, but I've read the study. It's a study that I obtained under FOI back in 2018. And you've got to wonder why the government departed from the strong recommendations that came from Defence.
Senator Peter Dutton had indicated that the decision on the preferred design would be made within the next couple of months. He was hosed down by the Prime Minister, who said no one should expect it before the election. Do you see them as being at odds on this? And if so, I mean, could that give, you know, what's going on here on the biggest procurement for defence?
I don't understand or can't reconcile the difference in statements from the Defence Minister and the Prime Minister. That when the government announced the AUKUS arrangements in September, they talked about an 18-month study. And, one would have thought that study will take 18 months before all things can be considered. Again, it worries me that the decision-making is being pushed to prior to the election. I don't actually think there's time. There would be issues in terms of caretaker provisions, but you can just see the leaning of the government in relation to this, that they want to get an announcement out before the election, and that is not the way in which you should tackle national security.
So are you then confident from what the Prime Minister has said that it's not about a rush?
Well, the fact that the Prime Minister said that, he is the Prime Minister. One would think that Peter Dutton would be listening to what the Prime Minister has said. But again, I just don't understand how the difference came about. Defence said 18 months it would take to come out with all of the answers, and yet now we seem to have a push for an answer again before the election, and it just reeks of politics.
The process of working through whether to buy submarines from the United States or from the United Kingdom is supposed to take 18 months. Can it be truncated to just 6 months, which is what Peter Dutton was suggesting?
I think this is such an ambitious task. You have to consider all aspects of the potential procurement. Look, in my view, we cannot afford to wait until 2040. I think this is a huge mistake, huge vulnerability that's been left in the national security space by the Prime Minister. The fact that we will not receive a first future submarine until 2040, it's left us naked. And so I'm not convinced that this is the right answer. In a Senate inquiry report last week, I indicated that we've got to move immediately to an interim solution off the shelf built in Adelaide such that we have a capability available to us in the next few years, not in almost two decades' time. The only way that a 2040 future submarine will assist Australia in the context of the current geostrategic situation is if it is fitted with a time machine in the back of it.
The war in Ukraine, Senator, means Australian motorists could soon be paying $2.15 a litre for petrol. Wow. Please don't have, calm down listening, because that is incredible. You have started a petition to reduce fuel excise by 50% as an emergency measure. How much would that cost? And have you had any love from the Treasurer?
Oh, look, this is a very important issue. We've got people who are suffering because of rising rents, rising food costs, now rising petrol costs, both families and small business. It's an inflationary problem as well. I'm sure the Reserve Bank would be looking at this, and something has to be done about it. I've proposed a temporary 12-month halving of the fuel excise, which would bring the price down by about 22 cents. That's much needed. It would cost around $6 billion. But we put that into context. The Prime Minister has a $16 billion war chest sitting there ready for the election to be able to buy votes from marginal electorates or indeed different groups of Australians. Take that $6 billion and give relief right across to Australia to those that deserve it, to those that are working in the economy, those that are looking after our children, our future. We have to do something. Josh Frydenberg, I know, is listening because he made mention of it last week and he didn't rule it out. But come out, let the Australian public have some relief, and announce that this is going to occur in the budget.
Well, he could perhaps be listening right now. Independent Senator Rex Patrick, thank you for your time.
Thank you.